Hey, we're back.
Hello.
Welcome to the ops team. We're switching up different roles. We're seeing what's going on. This is episode number 2 coming at you right now from the secret bunker hidden on building 25. Oh, I just gave it away.
Yeah, well done. It was. Less secret. Although it is a maze, so you'll struggle to find it anyway.
The refurbished server room where the ops team's coming at you right now.
Heavily refurbished.
We did put an application to be able to get some kind of artwork for the walls. It was denied.
Well, not denied. It's just in looks at the moment.
It's very good.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen.
Lots of magic eye puzzles. So you just stare at them for a while and then drop off.
Nice. So this is the weekly episode. Are we doing this weekly? Do we decide?
We're trying.
We're gonna try.
People could turn up.
We're trying to build muscle when people aren't gone. We were missing you the other week because we didn't know how to work this thing right down here.
So I did the proper documentation on Notepad to be able to at least how to start things up and be able to get it to go.
Good to know.
But we're going to be talking to you about four different sections, four different technologies that we're all responsible for. Yep. And hey, we had a request that came in from the Twitters just recently. I don't know if you guys knew this. For people asking for better show notes.
Or some
at all. And so what I was going to suggest is, although of course I haven't opened one up yet, is that we could do like a OneNote file and just put it out on the public internet. And then we have the show and we could just put our notes in the file as we go. What do you think?
We could use GitHub.
That was coming. I nearly said it myself, actually. I refrained.
Look at you. It's already starting to run off. Okay.
Keep those hands on the table.
So we did put out a request last week to have it so that someone could make us a nice fancy spinner. That went summarily, ignored by everybody.
And we only put the episode out a few days ago.
You know, that helps too. What I did was I took a picture of my finger.
We can see it.
I don't know which one's live.
That one's live up there, yeah.
Picture of my finger.
Or wait.
You see that?
Oh, wait. There we go.
Picture of my finger.
We got it.
Have you read his notes?
And I'm just going to go ahead and spin.
So this will determine who goes first. Up to speed. Yes. We each have a couple of minutes, 5 minutes to be precise. I've got the timer, so I'm in control. Each person gets 5 minutes on their respective areas.
Ready?
So Azure
Ready?
Infrastructure.
Finger,
hang on,
Rick's finger.
Doing introduction. Azure infrastructure, on-premises stuff. Simon does enterprise mobility and Windows, and you do some stuff as well. And Dev.
Yeah. It's got Dev in the title.
Yeah, it's
so
like Dev.
Just don't even. Yeah.
Like, hurry up.
Shall I go ahead and spin, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Are we good?
Well, let's hope it lands on one of us.
It's going to be somebody. Oh, look at that.
Oh, it's me.
It's you.
It's me.
Congratulations.
Right. Okay. So are we ready to go? I'm going to start my timer, give myself 5 minutes.
So you're going to talk about hard drives so I can go to sleep?
No, don't
now.
Spoil it. It's my surprise.
On your marks, get set, go.
Time. Oh, no, I've done 10 seconds. Hang on. I was testing it before and I didn't want to wait 5 minutes for the air horn. There we go. Five minutes up. So I got two things to talk about today. Two because... You know, why stop at one? So, first one, Ben Armstrong, Mr. Virtual PC Guy, at Virtual PC Guy on Twitter. Ben and I spent quite a bit of time, probably too much time, in the studio recording a Microsoft Virtual Academy session on a virtualization deep dive in Windows Server 2016, something that I'm sure you guys would find very valuable if you can spare like 8 hours.
Absolutely.
So we recorded it at the end of September, early October. We just published it to the Microsoft Virtual Academy now, or in the last couple of days. So I'll provide links in the show links or however that transpires, whether it ends up in the comments in the blog post or whatever it may be. Either way, you'll be able to access it. I'm going to do a blog post on it as well, so you'll be able to find that on mattmcspirit.com. The key takeaway from the course is there's a lot in virtualization. We cover containers. We cover running Hyper-V as a nano server. We cover all the new innovation around operational efficiencies, PowerShell Direct, production checkpoints, cluster upgrades. There's a whole host of stuff. So if you want to go deep on Hyper-V and you're already familiar with what we delivered in previous versions, because the course would be ginormous if we covered everything. Definitely check it out on MVA.
So will I be able to now debug Hyper-V after watching?
We don't go through debugging Hyper-V, because that's a dev activity. we go through just using it for IT professionals, which is my priority. Anyway, it's good fun. I've not got much time left to talk about my other topic, which is, as David kindly spoiled my surprise, it's storage.
Come on.
Can we show my hard drive?
Come on. There we go.
You see that?
Yeah, there it is.
So the server is now broken that I pulled this out of. Never mind.
What?
Yeah, it was redundant.
it's
so
redundant.
there's been talk of, and stuff going on the internet around Dell and EMC and loads of stuff going on in the storage world. Everyone's like, wow, you know, a big acquisition. I want to talk a bit about Microsoft storage and bring people up to speed. So it's not necessarily new news that's out this week, although we are due another technical preview in the coming months, so there'll be new stuff there. But I want to bring people up to speed with what we did in 2012 R2 and what we're doing cool in 2016. So firstly, 2012 R2. We enabled you to essentially transform high-volume, commodity, industry standards, servers and storage into enterprise-class storage for your Hyper-V workloads, for your applications, for whatever you want. So essentially, take a JBOD, just a bunch of disks, stacked with these things, hard disk drives, magnetic, and SSDs for performance. Attach them via industry standard SAS cables to x86 servers, Windows Server file servers, transform that into a scale-out file server, and through storage spaces, you've essentially built an enterprise-class storage array with thin provisioning, tiering, deduplication, and it's great for storing your Hyper-V VMs accessed over SMB3, which is a phenomenal protocol, gives you local-like performance.
Don't forget hybrid. You didn't say hybrid.
And hybrid, yeah. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thanks. Sorry. Just weave that in there. You're throwing me
off. I know, I'm trying.
2 minutes left.
Come on.
But going forward in 2016, we've enhanced the platform further to deliver a number of new architectures that you can take advantage of. So that architecture I described before was an external JBOD with SAS connectivity. We've lost Simon.
Simon's
we'll
gone.
We'll bring him back.
You've bored him to death.
It's your screensaver.
Yeah.
So external JBOD, SAS connectivity to your file servers. So in Windows Server 2016, we're bringing a new feature, a new capability called Storage Spaces Direct, where essentially you, instead of having the hard drives within external JBOD, you take those same hard drives, so magnetic SSDs as well, and you place them inside the chassis of the file servers themselves. So you've got, let's say, 4 file servers stacked full of disks, and then through the magic of software, through Storage Spaces Direct, we actually transform those local disks into a shared set of virtual disks across all of those file server nodes. So we're essentially converging, dropping down up, and removing that need for an external JBOD. So you save that space, and you gain new architecture options. Your Hyper-V layer is still separate. So your Hyper-V host clusters running your virtual machines access this new scale-out file server with Spaces Direct over SMB. So that's a converged approach.
So are you trying to teach us here, or is this a news show?
Yes, I'm trying to teach you here. This is news. This is important for people.
All right. It's all good.
Listen.
All right.
I've only got 30 seconds now. I want people to try this out because it's still new to a lot of people, and I've been working a lot on our content this week talking about this stuff, so it's important that people try it out for themselves with eval options. We're also supporting hyperconverge going forward, so putting Hyper-V on those same file servers so you can condense down a layer even further. So my kind of call to action is, in my last 12 seconds, go try this out because it's cool stuff, it's important, it might still be new to you, and chances are it probably is, so go and check it out. And the news was storage is popular. And that's me.
People like storage. time is up.
Oh wow! That's
I must nice have picked way. A different for, timer.
For nice. Me, I like premium storage. Done.
Yes. Yeah. You know what we call those magnetic disks up in Azure when we're talking in Azure world? Spinning Rust.
All right.
Do you want to have that backed by spinning Rust or SSD?
Which I've is not seen that in any of the customer facing.
No, that's
materials.
The internal
that we've just publicly made available. Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
So I had it set to air horn.
It didn't work.
Okay. Now we need the finger again.
Yeah, gonna bring up the finger.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Ready?
Here we go.
Set.
Here we go. Let's spin it.
Who's it gonna be? Oh, it's me.
Oh, it's you.
Hang on. I'm just figuring out the. I don't know why it did some random noise there. That was set to air horn.
Nice.
Anyway, we'll see what it throws out this time.
All right, 5 minutes.
Simon's back with us. He's still there. Yeah. Simon, just stop interrupting.
I woke him up. I tickle his forehead with my mouse.
He's looking a little. looking a little flat today. Yeah. A little bit flat.
Yeah. It's the cursor on his head.
Nice.
Right. You ready? Don't worry. I'll give you plenty of warning when I'm going to start it.
Okay.
Started.
Oh, man, really?
I did it again.
It's kind of a ragtag mixture of a bunch of different things I want to talk about, some of which I'm completely 100% not qualified to talk about at all, but at least I thought I'd bring it up.
Only some of which. Right.
Because there was a particular legal case that was in the news just recently with regards to the revocation of Safe Harbor for data access and privacy and that sort of stuff. We're basically, in absolute simple terms, because, you know, obviously do not take this as legal advice because I'm not a lawyer.
And you don't play one on TV.
The fact that there is a European citizen that challenged this and it went to the courts in Europe that basically said, hey, I need to have control of my data and control over my content is and my information, and I want to have it controlled in such a way that does not actually leave the countries and cross the Great Divide. And anyway, this all came back down to a ruling that happened over 15 years ago. 15 years ago.
Were you like 45?
Which is when Safe Harbor was basically created for data and for how to handle data across the different worlds, different places. So anyway, it's been struck down, doesn't exist anymore. So a lot of U.S. companies that relied on the Safe Harbor constraints that they used to say, yes, we're in compliance, we can be able to open up and use and work inside of European Union countries and European countries, no longer exist. And so we're now scrambling to figure out how we can now adhere to this. But it's opened up this Pandora's box and also shone the light on the bigger issue, which is obviously privacy and where my data is and having ultimate control of where it happens to be. It ultimately opens up the conversation around that a lot of this legislation and a lot of these legal things have come about way before technology even existed with regards to how do you handle data and where should data be? Because data didn't exist, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago to the same extent to what it does right now. Mm. So big kettle of worms, big kettle of fish, I guess you would say.
Yeah, a kettle of worms and worms. A can of fish. Wow.
Big kettle of fish you got to deal with there. There's been a number of different posts about this. Actually, our legal counsel, Mr. Smith, Brad Smith, went ahead and wrote a very nice blog post about it, talking about the collapse of the US-EU safe harbor, solving the new privacy Rubik's Cube. The reason why I bring this up is because I was just recently at a conference in Toronto at a conference called Sector, and the head of privacy for Canada up there basically was up in one of the keynote speakers talking about this kind of thing and how it's a good opportunity for where companies can now go in and put in a lot of constraints and controls where previously they weren't. The idea is that just because you have so much data and so much personal information about yourself or about your customers, whoever happens to be, doesn't matter. It does matter that you have that much, but it doesn't matter in the sense you can put the privacy controls in place now, abstract it, obfuscate that sort of stuff, and everyone comes out as a winner.
Well, how easy is it for organizations to put privacy controls in place?
That's a longer discussion than my 5 minutes actually allows, so mm-hmm. I'm not even going to go there, man. It really depends. He was talking about the obfuscation and basically removing the identifiable information from that, but still being able to work with it. I mean, think about Internet of Things, IoT, and that sort of stuff, right? All those thousands of devices that you might have or those tiny little pieces of information you might consent to allowing to be stored about you, you can tie them all together eventually and end up with a very detailed picture you might not want to have about your life on the interwebs. Enough of that. The second one I want to talk about is actually a show that we all talked about and we actually did a promo for. I saw a blog post came out this morning advertising, talking about Microsoft Mechanics.
Woo.
And so by the time this goes live, the episode will probably be live for Microsoft Mechanics. I think you're up first with virtualization and containers.
Just containers.
With Microsoft Mechanics.
Yep.
What'd you think of that shoot process, man?
Very different. It was good.
I mean, much more high production than this, I will say.
It's a close call.
I'm not looking at a teleprompter right now to get the exact lines of what I have to say exactly.
And that's how you delivered it.
Oh, yeah. Wait till you see mine. I felt so awkward delivering mine.
I enjoyed it. It was good, though. I mean, it's a good show. It's some high-profile guests on there.
Yeah.
Good pertinent topics around that are happening around that time. Yep. So containers, there's some cool stuff coming when we launch that first episode. So
we'll probably have some blog posts out there from our different respective blogs talking about Microsoft Mechanics, and you'll see some more stuff coming up. And it's basically the rebranded version and a one Microsoft view from the Office Mechanics going up to the next level. So that was my second piece that I want to talk about there.
15 seconds.
15 seconds left, that's
all?
I'm
telling him.
Well, there you go. And that is it for me.
Well, we've got 10 seconds for the air horn.
Silence. Silence is golden.
There we go.
Bring it in early.
Oh, nice.
I use the soundboard and stop the timer. Multitasking.
Nice.
Oh, boy. Nice. Are we back to the finger again?
Back to the finger.
We are.
Hang on. I'm not sure that term is something we want to catch on.
Maybe I will actually take a picture of an arrow for the next one. Yeah. I think the finger's appropriate for this one right
it is,
now.
It is the index finger,
is, yes.
I should point out.
It is the
out.
Index
finger. Oh, that's good.
You should point out.
Yes.
Oh,
there we go.
Ready? Here we go. Ready? DevOps spinning joke. Around.
Let's hope it's one of the
two. Who's going to be? It is Simon.
Simon. Hey, Simon. Hey, how's it going over there?
But in case you haven't noticed, Simon isn't with us today. But we did rig up this autonomous device for a human presence.
The production value is staggering.
Oh, yes. So is this going to start talking now?
How's it
going
to start? If you just put on HoloLens, he'll become real.
Three HoloLens. That blows our budget for the year. Yeah. We have one each.
We'd even think about HoloLens. It blows the budget for a year.
Yeah. Oh, well. So we're going to inject Simon's pre-recording, because I met with Simon and he talked about some AD something or other. I was paying attention. I mean, it just went over my head. It relates to AD and on-premises and Azure and all that stuff. It's cool, but yeah.
There's no Hyper-V, so it just doesn't...
It could be
really
run on Hyper-V if it was on-prem.
Okay, well, you got to at least start his timer so I have something to edit this in with, because we have to do the magic of editing.
Okay, starting timer. It. Simon, are you ready?
You all set, man?
Oh, okay.
Go to it.
You look ready.
Yeah, he's ready.
All right, he's ready. Okay.
Yeah, here we go.
Hey folks, so I'm not in the studio this week with everybody else. Unfortunately, I'm out on the road doing some of the evangelism that we all get to do as part of our day jobs. So, what was interesting for me this week? Well, probably the number one thing is actually the Azure Active Directory domain services going into technical preview this week. Pretty cool stuff, this. It means that you can take any virtual machine inside of Azure IaaS, connect it up to a VNet, and then from within Azure Active Directory, project domain services onto that VNet. So that actually means that you can take your VM and domain join it without having to roll out all of that infrastructure that you'd normally need to roll out in order to be able to run those kind of applications that are reliant on your Active Directory. End-to-end setup is really pretty simple. What you do is you set up Azure Active Directory Connect on-premises. That then replicates all the things that you need to have up inside of your Azure AD, up into Azure AD, keeps them in sync, make sure that everything is all hunky-dory there. And then from that point, inside of Azure AD, you're turning on the capability, and that's pretty much it. You can then do exactly what you'd normally do with your VMs inside of IaaS. So you can go in, domain join them, you can create a group policy object and apply that to the machines that are running inside of IaaS. Gives you lots and lots of things that you can actually kind of get around without having to run, say, your domain controllers inside of your VNet. The other cool thing about this is that it's not just domain service, it's actually going to do DNS inside of your VNet as well. So all of the lookups that you'd be expecting to have happen against domain services are just going to work. So if you've got a resource record that needs to be looked up, hey, you know what, we're going to deal with that for you. We're going to do that inside of the DNS for Azure Active Directory domain services. So it's a pretty cool set of features all in all. At this point, hopefully the other guys would normally be asking me questions about this. So going to be kind of tricky, being as well, you can tell I'm on my own. I've just got some fountains in the background. Actually, this is part of the Microsoft campus. It's always nice to be able to see a little bit of that. So I'm going to hand it back to the guys and hopefully they can continue the discussion around domain services. If you want to find out more, you can take a look at the links to the Azure Active Directory and Identity show that I did with Mahesh, who's the guy who PM'd that particular product. If you go to aka.ms/AADshow, you will be able to find out all about Azure Active Directory domain services. Thanks a lot. I'll see you next time.
There you go, Simon. Time's up. There you go.
Right.
That was good. That was very interesting.
Wow. That was stunning.
I like that one a lot. Mm. That was my favorite.
That wasn't the full 5 minutes, though.
No, well, I think you just kept
penalized.
It short and sweet. Well,
he's
going to
get penalized.
Yeah. We did have a nice fountain shot, though.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, you taught me a camera trick about the rule of thirds.
The rule of thirds for framing your shots.
Didn't even know that. I just did it anyway.
I'm glad.
I actually wanted to film the fountain, and Simon was just in the way.
So
we've got to spin it. It's not necessarily, but it might come back to one of us.
There's only one person left. I'll spin it anyway. Ready? Here we go.
People might want more Azure and more.
Never know.
See,
the
Azure.
Ops team. The ops team isn't even wanting the DevOps.
Yeah, we are.
So come on now. There we go. All
time
right.
up.
Give me the time.
You
Give
ready?
Me the timer.
You ready?
We're ready. Let's do it.
Here we go.
Okay. First up, we announced recently released a new engineering story, as we call it, on stories.visualstudio.com. It is not about Visual Studio necessarily. It is talking about how Microsoft does DevOps. It happens to be the Visual Studio team primarily, but it is a great example of how Microsoft does DevOps and how it works.
Because I actually read it. It was quite interesting, actually.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things that are in there. One interesting fact that is not public, since we're all about inside info here on the show, is
apparently
that,
so.
Is that we when we released this story, we actually released the content using DevOps practices. So it's on an Azure website. We had Visual Studio Online, continuous integration to deployment all the way to production for the content. So that was kind of fun, I must say.
You mean the articles?
The actual content itself. So we had graphic people, developer people. They were all checking in their code to Visual Studio Online and Git, and then as they would check it in, and myself was one of the editors, of course, as well, it would just go push right all the way to the public site. So
wow.
That was pretty fun.
Very cool.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, one of the sections in there is actually about the ops roles and how those have changed. So very applicable here for ops team and ops folks, and kind of seeing how some of the different roles where typically they're just ops transition to kind of more of a DevOps type role. So I don't know, did you catch that when you read it? The little table thing there?
I read it to the end. Yeah, it was a little while ago. But yeah.
Okay.
It's very interesting.
I haven't read it yet. So.
Okay.
I did because David sent around the link, I think. Well, we definitely went around on an email thread, and I did click through.
There you go.
When was that?
It was a while back.
Wasn't that long
the boss
ago,
sent it around,
so.
I think. I don't know.
It's from Volker. I don't read that.
It's recorded.
Right.
Oh, no.
We'll cut that bit out.
Yeah.
So what is it? So it's where do people go? Stories.visualstudio.
Yeah, we'll give the short link. There's a nice, friendly short link for that we'll put up there for people.
Do you know what it is?
Then I don't know it off the top of my head. I did tweet it when it first was released, but I forgot it.
Did your follower get in touch about that?
What?
I said, did your follower get in touch about that? I'm kidding.
So the other thing, which is not really necessarily Microsoft news, but there is going on right now, the DevOps Enterprise Summit. So that is...
I thought that was on the weekend.
No.
It's longer than that?
We have some folks down there. So we have like Sam Guggenheimer, who I believe has a breakout at the summit talking about Microsoft's kind of DevOps story, mm-hmm. and how we do things in the engineering there. And then we also have there's just a ton of great industry leaders in the DevOps space that are there. Gene Kim is kind of one of the main guys who tried to get the conference going. This is the second year for it now.
Okay.
But there's just a ton of great sessions related to all different facets of DevOps content.
Jeffrey Snover was there, wasn't he?
Yeah,
Jeffrey Snover there.
Yeah, there's. I mean, the big thing is with the conferences. It's enterprise DevOps, right? And so kind of, that combination of those two things, people, it's not just startups. It's like, hey, large enterprises like Target, was one of the ones last year. A lot of large GE, a lot of these companies who are doing DevOps, and they come from a very siloed traditional organization. A lot of them, transitioning to that. I think the perception is a lot of organizations think, well, it's only for the Facebooks and the Netflixes of the world that need that kind of thing. But
try not to bang on the table with your hands. Just so
it's getting very excited. I've actually got the link if you want
to. Okay, yeah, there we go.
You want to flick it?
Yeah, so
my
we have that nice little animated GIF thing there.
I did watch this for a while to figure out how long it lasted before these people like walked across.
Well, I don't even know that. How long was it?
Well, I didn't time it. But
okay,
you can tell that this guy walks off the screen. He's going. Yeah. He's gone. But I think it comes back at the other side.
Yeah, so if you scroll...
Oh, no, it's changed. There you go.
So if you scroll down, you can show the table I was talking about. If you keep going down, it's a bit more shift in roles and accountabilities. It talks about how the...
graphics are moving.
Yeah, that feature team thing isn't exactly... It's kind of correct, but
you
it's good enough.
That. You could edit that.
Yeah, but that's the table there. And if you click on the little pluses next to the roles, you could see... that it gives a short description of kind of what that category is all about.
Nice.
So, yeah. See you at the those are my again. Couple items. We have also, I should point out that we are releasing a new show, DevOps Dimension.
Oh, wow.
So, there we go. Boom.
You got the name.
I got it good. In there, DevOps Dimension. That's good. See?
It will be on the notes, too.
That's right.
Doing
a little hanger, a little teaser,
You
guess,
could have a little bit of Simon's time if you want. He only took a little bit.
Give us a show promo for DevOps Dimension, man.
So we want to really get out there and talk to people in the industry. We're going to start off with our first episode. talking to some folks that are doing DevOps inside of Microsoft, a dev and an ops person.
Oh, wow.
And just kind of learn from those folks. And we'd love to pull in, you know, industry folks around the world to interview and to learn and grow from each other. So, yeah. So that's a little bit about DevOps Dimension.
Nice. Very cool. On Channel 9, we'll have a link in the notes for people to see it.
Yep.
That's all good. I thought we should probably do a tip of the hat to the folks that actually mentioned us on Twitter over the last little while.
Yeah, there was
the
loads.
The Ops Team. Actually, the Ops Team account is @TheOpsTeam. It's now up to a whopping 62 followers right now.
Wow.
Yes.
So you're going to come back with like a really big one.
We need to get our TechNet Edge followers.
Yeah, I know. I need to get them to move over there. Yeah. This is a shout out to you, Mr. Tessar. Noma DPL for his favorite quotes from the Phoenix Project.
I know.
He shared one of them.
That was
there.
Awesome. That was
there. We'll have to confirm
I like
one.
That.
A great team performs best when they practice. Practice creates habits, and habits create mastery of any process or skill. Is that process or process? I say process.
You say oat, I say out.
Yeah,
I'd say it's a process.
I don't know.
An ENGB is accurate.
Now, another one here is from Vision SPC, would say, my favorite Phoenix Project quote, problems like dog poop left in the rain rarely get better just by ignoring them. Is that actually in the Phoenix Project, you know?
I don't remember that quote exactly.
He hasn't read it.
The whole thing, but you know, it is hundreds of pages, so yes. Remembering every single word is,
well,
you know.
You should read it again.
Yeah.
You got it.
You got. Speaking of which,
you guys have a copy.
I'm not for the intro.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
It's actually on my reading list to be able to read when I'm on my route and way to Australia. I've got 16
hang
hours.
On, it's not just you.
Yeah, no, you're going to. Yeah. We'll talk about that later on because I have another show coming up. Right. But definitely thank you, @NomaDPL, Master Hauer, Houwer, I think it was, another one there. For someone that came in, and Vision SPC and a bunch of them. You can always reach any of us, obviously, at our own Twitter handles, but @TheOpsTeam is one that we're monitoring for the show.
Yeah,
we're going to try this again next week.
Yeah,
there's a complication already because I'm in Vegas until Thursday afternoon.
You traveling man.
I know. I'd say maybe.
See, but now that we have the instructions on the TriCaster... Yeah. We should be able
to. You should be able to do it.
We should be able to do this.
And,
now,
and so maybe I have to pre-record something. Or you know what? One thing we haven't tried yet is we can also Skype in. So Skyping is an option, potentially.
Okay.
You just
it's
have to
option.
Run Skype on that one over there.
Uh-huh. There we go.
We could just record in advance.
Could record in advance, too.
Might be slightly higher quality.
You never know.
Can you hear me?
Nice. Last moments, last thoughts, last words, Mr. Tessar? Anything?
No.
Nothing?
Just nothing okay. Comes to mind.
How does somebody find you on the Twitters?
It would be @DTZAR would be my handle.
Nice.
Yes.
I love those bird sounds. Bird notes.
It's getting overused now, that one, but it's accurate.
Nice.
We have to mix it up.
Mr. McSpirit.
@MattMcSpirit, but you can go to my blog, which is mattmcspirit.com. And you'll find some useful stuff on there, hopefully. And check out the MVA, the Microsoft Virtual Academy, for the virtualization course and more.
And for myself, you can always reach me @RickS. Thank you.
Sorry, I thought we would just go for a finite period of time, but it's infinite birds.
@RicksterCDN, and my blog apparently was down for the last while.
Have you paid again?
I remembered to pay the credit card bill. regularitguy.com is the place you can find me. And obviously, because Simon is silent right now, he is jumping up and down for attention. You can see him simon-may.com, I do believe, is his website, and actually @SciMonster for being able to get a hold of him. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That's about it for today's episode.
Yep,
we still don't have an ending, so we'll just kind of end on this over here and then possibly play the video again. We don't know until we edit the whole thing together.
No,